Bad Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Today, Pedro Gomez will join us, our ESPN baseball analyst insider. Pedro joins us every Wednesday during the Major League Baseball season from here on out right through October in the World Series. Pedro Gomez with us. Miles Simon, former U of A star. We're going to talk about March Madness. He is with ESPN College Basketball, and Miles is doing the Big 12 Conference. So we'll catch up with Miles Simon in about 20 minutes. He will join us from Kansas City. We got a lot going on. Eric is in Vegas. He may check in with us. He's over at the craps table. No, actually, he's the slot machine. He's somewhere along those lines. And Eric is up at the Pac-12 tournament for ASU. They play Oregon State tonight, and then tomorrow you'll see U of A. If you've not been to the Pac-12 tournament, it's one of those events that it's the venue is so good. If you like people and you like gambling and you like being around a pool during spring break, even if you're 80, okay, that's what goes on at the MGM in Vegas. The Pac-12 tournament is there. You're indoors all day if you want to be. And you put down your bets, you go to the game, you come back out, grab some food, go back in. It doesn't matter if you're watching, you know, Oregon State, ASU tonight, if you're watching, you know, Washington State and Colorado. It doesn't matter. All those games are there. It's a terrific, terrific event. And that's going on. Today is also the opening day of free agency. The Cardinals yesterday deciding that they are going to have Drew Stanton back on board. So so they go that direction, and then they get the deal done. I'm, you know, Mario Williams signed. Mario Williams did not play very hard last year, in my view, and from everything that I had read and people whose opinions I respect. And Malik Jackson from Denver signs with Jacksonville. When you get 6 years, $90 million, and you're just the guy in Denver, it's all about timing. You got a team that is all jacked up, that wants to make a splash, that knows you. So two of the defensive linemen that fans would look at and say, oh, man, he'd look great in a Cardinal uniform, they're gone. They're off the board. So there's that. I found yesterday the Calvin Johnson love fest, the Megatron love fest. And look, I'm not going to sit here and disrespect Calvin Johnson. But when I hear that Calvin Johnson is going to be, in some people's view, a first ballot, first sure Hall of Famer, and I'm looking at Larry Fitzgerald over here, and I'm thinking Larry Fitzgerald for sure is a first ballot Hall of Famer. But if you're outside of Arizona, you just don't know how good Larry Fitzgerald has been in his career. It's not easy becoming first ballot at anything. And Calvin Johnson had some great years, and I'm very happy that he got out of the game when he decided to, that he walked away from the game on his own terms. But man, between yesterday and last night, this Calvin Johnson love fest. He had a cool nickname, and he was a great receiver in his time, but I don't look at him and say, well, there's one of the greatest receivers in the history of the National Football League. I don't. If you're a Lions fan, you hate me right now. You do. If you've not watched Larry Fitzgerald, now Larry Fitzgerald's on a completely different plane than Calvin Johnson, in my view. That may sound like the hometown sportscaster. It's fine. It's fine. But nationally, this we look at guys like T.O. not being in the Hall of Fame, okay? And Marvin Harrison ripping him last week. I got my gold jacket and all that stuff. Marvin Harrison didn't get in on the first ballot. I think Fitz is a better receiver than Marvin Harrison. Okay. Calvin Johnson to me is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Larry Fitzgerald should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no debate. None. Zero. Zip. But it does bring something up that we've talked about here on the show, but I think it bears repeating. And that is that when you're somebody in the middle of your career, like I heard this narrative yesterday. How can he walk away from all of that money? Well, in the NFL, nothing is for sure. Nothing is for certain other than the signing bonus. He's not on a great team. Yeah, he could still play. I don't know if he's starting to be the victim of the concussive hits. I don't know that. But I think this day and age where guys get out of the game on their own accord when they decide they want to get out is the way to go. Not on, well, let me hang in there for another year and another year and another year. You see that with players, some players, Got to get another paycheck. If I can just get another paycheck. And they hang on, and it's hard to watch. Like, it was hard to watch Peyton Manning this season for me. It's like, he's not what he once was. Kurt Warner at the end was trying to hang on because he was a fighter and a competitor. But at the end, he finally got out of it, and I'm glad that he did and didn't give in to the, hey, I want to get back out onto the field. I want to be in the game. Like, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to see Kurt this weekend. So Kurt has his annual fantasy football camp, and we've actually been asked by the Warner people to be a part of that this year. So we're going to be given access to the whole event, not just this little media thing, but they called and said, Brad, we'd like to have Sports 360 AZ be part of this. So Friday night, we're going to be at an event where Jameis Winston is probably going to be there. He's been invited. He's going to compete and be part of this. Tyrod Taylor is going to be there. Kurt Warner is going to be there. And, you know, you can see some of these former players or a former player like Kurt or a present guy like Jameis Winston, who's going to be in the Valley this weekend. And by the way, if you're going to be one of those autograph guys that goes and stalks, I'm not going to say where. I'm sure you can find out. But yeah, he's going to be in town this weekend. It's a pretty big name. And there's some other ones that are going to be in town too. But to see these guys that are just now coming into the league and all the fame and all the stuff that comes along with it. And then you see a guy like Kurt who just does his business, does his event every year. And how he's handling post-NFL life. He's had to have some twists and turns. He has along the way. He's done some things that he's looked at in terms of television projects, and he's gone different directions from them, and that's fine. My point is, we have this expectation. We don't want our heroes to leave, and when they do leave, did they get out of the game too soon? And I've seen that narrative about Megatron, and I'm actually applauding a guy that decides, you know what, I've had enough of this. And I want to get out. I've done this page in my life. I'm going to move on rather than being, I call them lost souls. Lost souls end up calling us. It doesn't matter if I'm here, if I was at Channel 3 or over on radio before. Lost souls are former players that call us that say, oh, I want to come over here and I'll be really good at it. And they figure out that, you know what, it takes a little bit of work to do this. You can't just show up, read a paper or go online and look at a story and that's it. You got to work every day at this, just like you had to work every day at running your routes. And this is hard. And so you see the guys that will take their money and they'll go throw it into a restaurant, which is like just lighting a furnace and throwing all your money in there and just watching it burn up. Unfortunately, I smile about it, but I've seen too many guys. Oh, I got a restaurant now. Really? Oh, yeah, and it went bankrupt. Oh, stunning, shocking. So, you know, Megatron wants to walk away. Good for Megatron. Good for him to get out of the game. It's a great nickname. But let's not overreact here about his career versus Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald's first ballot Hall of Famer. That's that. Zach Greinke is starting today for the Diamondbacks. So they play the Padres over at Salt River Fields. And this will be start number two for Zach Greinke. I don't know how good he's going to be today. We have Pedro joining us here in a couple of minutes. I'm not sure if Pedro's even going to be over at Greinke today. He's somewhere here in the Cactus League. There comes a point in spring training where it's the dead arm period, where you're just not, you're out on the mound and you're just searching. You see it every year. Yeah, well, he wasn't quite as sharp today. Yeah, well, he was working on this, working on that. And I don't know if today is going to be that day for Zach Greinke. It's usually the second or third start, and they want everything to be clean all the way through. I get it. Like, Robbie Ray continues to be good. Robbie Ray pitched yesterday, and three scoreless innings. Robbie Ray is not allowed to run in five innings of spring training. For whatever that is worth, Robbie Ray's had a really good spring for the Diamondbacks. And I think the Gene Segura story's pretty good. The Diamondbacks make this deal to get him late. Gene Segura is 9-for-13 in spring. 9-for-13. I feel pretty good about that. We have the Knicks in town tonight. Suns Knicks tonight. The mighty Suns trying to stretch their win streak to 3 tonight. And the Knicks played last night in Denver, so no Scottsdale night for them. So you should get tired legs. In the way the NBA works, you would think the Suns should win. But, you know, does Melo decide to play or not tonight? And and my stance on Carmelo is fine. Get him in here one game, get him out. I don't want him on my team. So that's going on today in the Valley as well. And then, of course, tonight, it'll be a late night. We have college basketball tonight, Arizona State at the Pac-12 tournament, taking on Oregon State. There's college basketball all day and all night because it is one of the greatest weeks. When it's this week, next week, when there's games just all day long and all night long, it's not good if you have one of those little apps on your phone that keeps track of your steps, because nothing's happening. Either you get up and you walk to the bathroom, you get up, you walk back to the couch, and you walk over to the fridge, and you might have a 5-pound sandwich, but that's where we are right now. It's great. Pedro Gomez is next, then Miles Simon from the Big 12 tournament. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We're back with Pedro after this timeout.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst insider. He joins us today from Camelback Ranch, where he is out at the White Sox facility. Are they going to be any good this year?
You know, last year I had them pegged to win the AL Central. And, you know, you add guys like LaRoche and David Robertson, and I just thought, wow, this is a ball club that can really do some stuff, especially with their rotation. But obviously things did not work out well. There's obviously optimism, and I think it's more tempered, but it's still a pretty talented club. You know, you trade for a guy like Todd Frazier, you add Jimmy Rollins, who there's still something left in the gas tank, and he's not expected to play 155 games by any means, but he still knows how to play and how to win. Jose Abreu is one of the, you know, game's top stars right now. It's, you know, you got a rotation that can pitch. Sale at the top, and you've got Danks and Quintana and Rodon. I mean, there's definitely some pieces here that are pretty intriguing, and I think they're going to compete this year.
Talking with the ESPN baseball insider and analyst Pedro Gomez. He joins us around the Cactus League. So, you know, last week we talked about specific teams. I want to open it up a little further. What are the most interesting storylines to you now, a couple of weeks into spring training? We've got some games out of the way. What are some things that you're gravitating towards?
I really like the Indians this year. There's something about being out at that camp, Carlos Carrasco, the rotation they have, Kluber at the top, you know, Terry Francona is a proven winning manager. I kind of think the Indians are in for a pretty good year. I know that we live here and people say, oh, he's just being a homer. I think the D-backs, I think when you see the way they play for Chip Hale, there's something to be said for that. You add a guy like Greinke, there's a lot of guys on that team who want to win again. And now they feel like, hey, we have a legitimate chance. And that's what comes when you add starting pitching. I know that you and I talk a lot, and you know that I love to talk about starting pitching, how it sets the tone,
right,
how that's how you really win. And you add guys like Greinke and Shelby Miller to go along with Corbin and it, you know, Della Ruby. And I think that there's a legitimate chance for the D-backs to really be able to compete. Those are two that jump out at me more than anything right now.
Okay, what about Yosmani Tomas? What are you hearing?
You know, he definitely came into camp in much better shape than he did last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first thing that everybody in camp noticed, and you know, they had told him over the winter or after the last season, hey, you've got to do something. You've got to come into camp in better shape. It's going to matter. You know, the process has not been as quick as the D-backs thought. And the reason for that is because other guys like Yoenis Cespedes and Yasiel Puig and Jose Abreu had such an easy and quick transformation from Cuba to Major League Ball. Not everyone's the same, obviously. I mean, Tomas did play at a high level in Cuba, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons that the D-backs thought, okay, this is just the next one. But, you know, they're locked in. They're going to have to play him, and because they're paying him that much.
Right.
And they're you know, but I think it's one of those things where we've seen it in the past from Tony La Russa type clubs where if you're not performing, we're going to put the guy who is performing. and it doesn't matter if we're paying you more. So I think it's an important season for Yasmani Tomas. You know, they gave him the year to kind of adjust, and now they're expecting much more.
Talk with Pedro Gomez. When you go around to camps here in the Cactus League and you come across an aging superstar like Albert Pujols, is it becoming a question of how much longer for him, Pedro? Are we at that stage for Pujols?
No, not in his particular case. He still has 6 years left on that deal. So he is going to be in the Angels camp for a while.
But in terms of producing and playing that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, but he hit 40 home runs last year.
I get it. But staying healthy, are you concerned at all? It doesn't sound like you are.
Well, no. Staying healthy has been an issue for him the last few years. And, you know, the foot and everything. And then there's still questions. He says he'll be ready for opening day, but we know that the Angels said he's not going to be ready for opening day when camp opens. So there's obviously questions there. He's got to get on the field. But in terms of production, he had a very productive season last year. How long that'll last, of course, none of us know. And I don't think it's you know, you talk to people around baseball and they don't expect him to hit 40 home runs again this year.
Sure.
But, you know, he can be very productive because he knows how to hit. He knows how to approach at bats. That has always been one of his strengths. So even if he's not able to muscle the ball into the gap, if he can move a runner over, he can still be productive in the middle of the lineup. Now, that's not the kind of production you pay $24-25 million a year for.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of money you do pay for the 40 home runs and the 110 RBIs, 120 RBIs. But hey, let's face it, the Angels, I think, knew that they were not going to get 10 years of production out of Albert Pujols. They wanted the first 4, 5, 6, 7 years of production. Now, if he can give them that, then they'll consider that a winning contract. You know, we've seen it time and time again when players get toward the end of their career, the fall is very quick.
Yep.
When that happens, who knows? He certainly showed no signs last season of him being there, but we have seen it happen. I mean, on a local front, we saw it happen with Matt Williams that last year, where all of a sudden, you know, he just fell off the table and couldn't do the things that his mind was telling him he could still do. His body just wasn't allowing it. And that tends to happen, especially with sluggers. It tends to happen at a very, very incredibly fast rate all of a sudden, where guys just fall off the table and it's like, wow, that's it. There's nothing left.
What about a guy like Josh Hamilton this spring? What are you hearing? What do you think?
Oh, man. I you know, the knee is obviously a big concern. And what I'm hearing is no idea if he's even going to be able to play.
Yeah.
No idea if he's even going to be able to play this year.
On the star front, okay, so Ryan Braun is sitting over there in Milwaukee. And I talked to Counts, and you talked to him too. And you see what the Brewers are doing. They're going through a makeover. And they feel like they have a lot of young pieces, right? But a guy like Ryan Braun, so far in camp and just what he brings to Milwaukee, is the expectation for him to be at that elite level, given the talent that is around him, Pedro?
You know, it's going to be hard, because if you're an opposing team and you go into a series against the Brewers, you're going to single him out and say, this is a guy that we won't pitch to. Let's see if, you know, one of these other young kids can beat us.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts him in a tough spot automatically. It's kind of like the Angels with Mike Trout. I think any scouting report where they go into a series is going to say anybody but Trout beats us. And they'll live with guys like Cole Calhoun beating them, or even Albert Pujols, but they're not going to live with Mike Trout beating them. And I think the Brewers are in a similar situation, where it's going to really be up to those young kids to start to perform and you know, it's difficult. It's easier when you're incorporating one young player into a mix as opposed to five or six at the same time. And right now you look at Braun and Lucroy, and even though they're not old, they're the sage veterans on this club. And, you know, they're right around 30, 32 years old. And all of a sudden you're counting on a lot of young pieces. And that's what makes for a tough season. You can go maybe through spurts where you can play well, but over the course of 162, it's really difficult for young players to perform consistently average or above average for that long without the experience. That's where experience comes into play, and that's why experienced players tend to do much better than young players. So the Brewers, I'm afraid, are probably in for a tough season.
Yeah. But I want to bounce around, give the fans a real good idea of what's going on around here, because it feels to me like the story of this spring training in Arizona is all about the Cubs. It feels to me like that's the overriding story. Not that there aren't significant. There's Greinke over at Arizona, and the Dodgers are always going to be the Dodgers, and you go to the Giants game. There's always stories, but are the Cubs just killing it this year? I know from an attendance standpoint, it just sounds crazy over there. And what do you make out of Joe Maddon's team so far?
Well, I mean, you know, the Cubs are one of those teams that when they're doing well, they're going to grab a lot of the national attention.
Yep.
Because they haven't won since 1908. So they are natural. And there's, you know, there's a lot of people around the country that have an affinity for the Cubs. So when they are good or expected to be good, that's just a natural part of our business. The media is to talk about the Cubs because there's so much interest in it. There is interest. There's legitimate interest in the Cubs from a wide array of people in the spectrum. So, but having said that, it's not easy to win when you're expected to win. And that is going to be, to me, the most interesting part of the Cubs season, because yeah, they do have a lot of the pieces, but doing it 2 years in a row is not easy. Hey, listen, since 1908, when they last won the World Series, which is 108 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, 108.
They have made the postseason in consecutive years only once in that time period. Only once in 108 years have they made the postseason twice, you know, in consecutive years. So that alone is going to make it tough. That alone is going to make it tough.
Arrieta wants a 7-year deal, reportedly.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I mean,
well, you got to strike when you've got some power, when you've got the hammer, so to speak.
But is it like Goldschmidt in his situation? I had Derek on last week, and I don't get a sense from the Diamondbacks that there's any rush on this deal, but there is a window, and they know they've got him in a very friendly contract towards the team. It's two different situations. Arrieta is trying to strike. Goldschmidt hasn't said a thing, but I wouldn't blame him if he did.
Yeah, but we both know Goldschmidt. That's not his style.
That's not his style, right?
At all. That's not who he is. That's not who I don't think he ever will be. So, but in Arrieta's case, hey, he sees that, first of all, the Cubs are a large market team. They've got a lot of money. And all you have to do is look at, hey, look what they're paying Jason Hayward. Look what they paid John Lester. Even look what they paid Joe Maddon just to be the manager.
Right.
I mean, you know. So he's looking around and he sees, and he knows that right now he's got the hammer. So why not come out and try to force the issue a little bit? The thing is that Theo Epstein is a very wise head of baseball operations, and he's not going to be rushed if he doesn't want to be rushed. And right now they're not in a position to. And Jake Arrieta had the phenomenal season last year. The Cubs are probably going to say, let's see if he can do it 2 years in a row. Let's see if he can come close 2 years in a row before we decide on trying to, you know, re-sign him.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time. Enjoy your day out of Camelback Ranch.
Brad, always great to talk.
You as well. There's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball insider and analyst from the White Sox facility. Good to catch up with Pedro. He's with us every week on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Miles Simon on the other side. Former U of A star, ESPN college basketball analyst. He's doing a really good job, and he is at the Big 12 tournament that tips off today. He's the analyst there for ESPN. We'll talk some college basketball with Miles Simon. That's next. We are in full March Madness swing now with conference tournaments. Welcome back, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. In Las Vegas, it is the Pac-12 tournament. Arizona plays tomorrow. The winner of Washington State and Colorado, Arizona State, they play tonight, very late tonight, against Oregon State. Miles Simon joins us now for a couple of moments. Former U of A star, ESPN college basketball analyst. He joins us from the Big 12 tournament. which gets underway today. All right, Miles, we've talked before. You're into the game inside and out. A hoopaholic is what I like to call us guys that are really into this. Nine number one seeds, as you're coming into conference tournament week, do you see a team that is going to rise above everybody else and blow through the tournament, or is this as wide open as you've seen?
I don't know if anybody's going to blow through the tournament, but I don't think it's as wide open as people think that it is, or that basketball analysts have made it out to be. I think there's really only probably 5 to 6 teams that could win the national title. And it's like Kansas and Michigan State and North Carolina, some of the favorites in that group. But I don't think there's like the 15 to 20 teams that can win the title.
We don't have a Butler or a Florida Gulf Coast that you see, at least today as we're talking.
Well, I mean, the question was, could they win the title? So, yeah, could there be teams that go to the Final Four? Yes, but as far as winning the whole thing and cutting down the nets, I think it goes to a lot of those teams that have been number one throughout the season.
Talk with Miles Simon. You are there at the Big 12 tournament. Is that the best conference this season?
It was the best conference this season. The deepest conference, the true round robin, 7 teams, 70% of the league is going to go to the NCAA tournament. And obviously Texas Tech kind of the surprise of that group. It's an ultra-competitive league. This year it was an older league, which I think made it that much better when you got to have like George Niang and Buddy Hield and Terry Ellis, Torian Prince, just guys that have, you know, been around 3 or 4 years. It didn't have really any star freshmen or young players in the league. So I think that experience factor also played into making the league so great.
How about from a coaching standpoint? What have you seen? What have you learned about Big 12 as you've been following it and covering it?
Man, it's some of the best basketball minds that there is in the nation. 6 coaches have been to the Final Four. You know, from Lon Kruger to Tubby Smith, and Tubby Smith, I mean, he has done such a phenomenal job. I don't know if you've ever been to Lubbock or, you know, watch Texas Tech play, but this was a program that was in total, you know, disarray and had 3 coaches in 3 years before Tubby Smith gave some stability to it. You had Bob Huggins, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day and has nearly 800 wins. Bill Self kind of speaks for himself with his track record. But these guys are so good with their kids. They're great X's and O's. And it's just fun. Like, best part of my job, I love going to practices and shoot arounds and just seeing how they execute their game plans each and every day.
Now, I would think for you, you know, from where you were at the U of A and your pedigree there and the coaches along the way, to be in a coach's meeting at a shoot around, yeah, the game's fine, but to just sit there and kind of pick the brain of Bill Self and Tubby Smith or Bob Huggins before a game's got to be a thrill.
Yeah, that's really one of the best parts of the job. It's hanging around those guys and getting to bounce things off them. And the fun thing about all the coaches, these guys are so open and really will spend a lot of time with the analysts like myself, you know, every day to give you a lot of information, whether it's basketball or it's about their players. They're truly good people to be around. And you know, I learn more from those couple hours a day you know, than I do like necessarily doing the broadcast and stuff.
Talk with Miles Simon, former U of A star, ESPN college basketball analyst. He joins us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sesmat. He is at the Big 12 tournament. You can check out his work on all the ESPN platforms and family of networks. Okay, this is not turning into Pac-12 bashing, but since you're there at the Big 12, it appears to me this year it's been the best conference. How big of a gap is there between Big 12 conference and Pac-12 conference? And Miles, I'm going to go not just coaches, players, venues, fans, the whole shebang conference to conference.
I'm not going to – it's not huge. Okay, but venues and fans, it's a lot different. In the Big 12, the fans, they show out pretty much every night. If you've gone to me, it has 2 of the best arenas in all of college, Hilton Coliseum and Allen Fieldhouse are hands down two of the best. Oklahoma had it rocking this year. Gallagher-Griba has seen its better days at Oklahoma State. As far as the play, I mean, I would put Oregon and Arizona up against Kansas and Oklahoma any day of the week. I don't know if they would win this year, but Pac-12 is as deep as it's been in the past few years. I think seven teams are going to get to the tournament. I think Oregon State is deserving. So the league is very good, and the difference in talent is I think the Pac-12 has younger talent. When you look at the likes of Jaylen Brown, Rab, Alonzo Trier, these guys that are having great success, all the freshmen that are at UW that might be drafted into the NBA. The right. Pac-12 probably has more legitimate first-round picks than the Big 12. The Big 12 just does it in a different way this year with the talent being and the players just being older.
What do you see out of U of A this year? There's been some fans that have said this is not their year. They're not a very good defensive team. They're not this. They're not that. They won their last few games. Gabe York has come alive offensively. But is this really a team that could have a deep run? Do you see them putting it all together?
I like the Arizona team a lot. And the things I like that they can score. And I love that Trier and York can put the ball in the hoop. I think that's crucial in the NCAA tournament, obviously, to win games. Yeah, they're not as good defensively, but are we comparing them to the last 2 years where you had T.J. McConnell, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Stanley Johnson, some stud defenders out there that could get stops? So, yeah, it's a different team that Coach Miller has, but it's a team that can get to the second weekend, and depending on matchups, you just never know what's going to happen. I mean, Arizona ran into a bad matchup with Wisconsin the last 2 years in the Elite Eight, and they go down to the wire in both of those games. Sometimes the tables could be flipped, if there's upsets or things that happen more favorably for the Wildcats. So I think they'll have a lot of success this week in Vegas, and I think they'll be perfectly fine going into the NCAA tournament.
Okay, before we let you go, the Suns here in Arizona are circling the drain. They've had a tough season, and they're going to be in the lottery. The conversation about Ben Simmons being the guy that they should take. I look at Brandon Ingram over at Duke. You're somebody that's seen players up close and personal. Who are some of the guys that jump to you that you're like, Brad, here's the guy or guys that, man, when they play, I take them on my team in a heartbeat?
Wow. Well, you mentioned two of them. I like Jamal Murray, the way he's been playing. Some of it has to be positional. Jakob Poeltl has been a stud this year. But, you know, I think the Suns, they have Alex Len, and he's been playing great, so some of it has to be a little bit of fit. I don't know about the foreign player, Dragon Bender, that's supposed to be a top five pick. You got to look at Buddy Hield and the things that he's done. He's played himself into a top 10 pick. I would look out for Denzel Valentine. I think he's going to have a great impact in the NBA, kind of what Draymond Green did. Green did, and Green got knocked because he was a four-year guy, but Denzel Valentine has been an absolute stud. And then maybe another guy, Chris Dunn, I think is going to be a great pro out of Providence.
Is there much difference between Simmons and Ingram, Miles, from your view?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Is there much difference between Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram from your view?
Yeah, there's a big difference. Ben Simmons has an NBA-ready body. He's a better passer at this point. He's a better rebounder. But I think Brandon Ingram, his upside is tremendous. He's long. He's lanky. He can shoot the basketball. He's very athletic, as is Simmons. I think totally different players. I think Brandon Ingram's going to get a nice hard look at being the number one pick when it's all said and done.
I'll let you go off that. I know you're prepping. Thanks for the time and the visit, Miles, as always.
Okay, no problem.
Miles Simon, former U of A star ESPN college basketball analyst, right there at the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Eric and I were going back and forth yesterday. I love Ingram. Man, I just, when you watch Duke over the next few weeks, you've got to watch Brandon Ingram. I know that Ben Simmons has gotten all the hype and all the love, but Ingram is terrific. We're back with more after this timeout. I think we're going to have Ryan Lindley with us on tomorrow's show. So the story on Ryan Lindley, you may be like, Brad, blast in the past. What? Did you know that Ryan Lindley is coaching both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff? Now, you may be laughing. You may be saying, no way, that's not true. Ryan Lindley is the quarterback coach for Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. I'm not kidding. We had Peter King on last week for our weekly segment, and Peter had talked about it with Carson, but I guess Jared Goff has now come into the equation, from my understanding. So we're going to track down Ryan Lindley and talk to him about how is it that he is working with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. And is Ryan Lindley really done playing? That's another question. You would say, well, of course he is. He got his brains beat in and with the Cardinals here at the end. Well, he was at Indianapolis for a week this last year, and he's still very young. But what is he imparting knowledge on Carson Wentz and Jared Goff? So like Carson Wentz is a guy from North Dakota, Jared Goff from the Bay Area. You talk about just two opposite spheres and obviously the level of competition, but Carson Wentz had some pretty big victories. He did have some wins. So, we're going to track down Ryan Lindley and have him on the show. Also Ken Rosenthal tomorrow. Ken just wrote a big piece for Fox Baseball about the Diamondbacks. I want to talk to Ken Rosenthal about things that he has seen around the Cactus League. That'll be on tomorrow's show. Tonight, I saw where Carmelo Anthony was quoted today saying that he is going to play in the Olympic Games. I just wish Jerry would say, no, you're done. We're kind of done. We're kind of finished. Your time has come. Your time is gone. I don't get the fascination with Carmelo Anthony. I never have. I don't understand how somebody could have so much hype and so much. I don't know if he's a bad guy or not. I don't care about that. Just his game on the floor, I don't need it. I don't want 12 for 29s. I just don't see it. And by the way, the last time the Knicks did something was, I don't know, the first time. They haven't done anything. And so they're here tonight. The Suns are hosting the Knicks tonight. The Suns are getting to the point where they're just trying to struggle through the rest of the season. When you sign Chase Buttinger and Alan Williams, it's two nice local stories. It'll get you a little bit of play, a little bit of run. I mean, you're out of it. Come on. And really, for the team, it's go ahead and play those guys all you want. When you guys watch the tournaments, as I was sitting there talking to Miles Simon when we were going through Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons, I don't even think it's close if I'm looking at the potential of one versus the other. Ben Simmons, to me, looks like somebody that's going to be a nice player initially. I'm not going to say that every top pick is a bust, but Anthony Bennett certainly was a bust if you look just here recently. Brandon Ingram, man, he is so skinny. When you watch Duke play, you'll be like, Sesmat, what is it you're seeing? Watch him out on the wing. Watch him out at 25 feet away from the hole, and it's just two steps and something spectacular happens. And you do look at him and say, there's some Kevin Durant there. There's some Kevin Durant there. It's not fully polished. The kid's just a year out of high school. But Brandon Ingram from Duke, Ben Simmons from LSU, just watch those two players here in this conference week. And the whole stuff about Ben Simmons not being academically eligible for the Wooden Award, come on. These kids are disguising themselves as students when they're in college. They are, for the most part. He doesn't want to be there more than a year. It's just a place to stop off. It's kind of like ASU with Thon Maker. If ASU gets the number one big man in the nation, he's renting. I don't even know if he's going to be here 6 months. The whole enjoying the college experience and all that nonsense. The same thing with Brandon Ingram. There's no way that kid's going to be a four-year guy. I don't even know if he's a one-year guy. He's a one and done. Those are the players you look at and say, man, if they could, the Suns could find a way to get somebody like. And that's why you don't want to see them screw up this lousy season by winning some games. You just don't. When I hear this, well, it's great for Devin Booker and Alex Len. That's just nonsense. They're going to log minutes if they lose games or win games. Okay. They're not going to sit there next November and say, oh my gosh, man, I lost 60 games. They're already going to say this is the worst season of their lives. They're already going to say that. And I don't know if Alex Len is going to be terrific. He's been great for about 2 weeks. And I was big on when they drafted him, but he's gone through his ups and downs. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, it's because Jeff Hornacek's no longer here, Markieff Morris is no longer here, that's the reason why Alex Len, the Suns aren't good, okay? And I'm being nice. So when they play games and they're able to pull some out, it's not a team that everybody gets jacked up for. So you're going to ambush some. It's great that they're playing. It's great they're getting the minutes. Just don't win. I don't want to have just a guy that's hanging around. Give me an Ingram or a Simmons along with Booker and along with Len. Okay, I don't know about Bledsoe and his knee and his health and that contract long term. I can't sit here and say, oh boy, he's going to be terrific. I don't know that, and nobody knows that. Nobody's going to be able to tell me. When you start tearing away in meniscus, doesn't matter. When they cut you, they cut you. Oh, it's minor surgery. It's minor when it's not done on you. Okay? So as March Madness is going through, I'm more into it this year because the Suns should have a relevant pick. Or maybe even two picks if they get lucky. If they play their cards right. If they go out and they win a few more games, they've screwed this whole year up for what? Go be really bad, then you'll get really good. That is the formula. There's no other way to put it. Go be really bad, and they're there. But the last week or so, it has not been good. And anybody's saying, oh, you're so negative. No, I'm not. I just don't ever want to be in this ditch again. And I know having another pick around 10 or, you know, even 6, 7, 8, right around there, it's not a for sure thing. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Zach Greinke throws today. Big story in the Valley. Looking forward to that. Of course, there's plenty going on in free agency around the National Football League. And, of course, the Pac-12 tournament tonight up in Vegas with ASU in action. Enjoy your day.